Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines, president of Texas Values. Great to be with you on another glorious week in the state of Texas. Hey, this is a special segment of the Texas Values Report. Sometimes we'll adjust the schedule. You know, it's usually on Thursdays at 11, but I'm going to be in Tarrant County tomorrow for the first Tarrant County National Day of Prayer lunch hosted by County Judge Tim O'Hare. Out in Tarrant County. It was like I was just there yesterday. Actually, it was a couple days ago on Monday I was out in Tarrant County, but I'm headed back there tomorrow for a special event. And there's been some big news this week, though. We want to cover it. And while I was in Tarrant County, I ran into a member of the Texas legislature who's going to be our guest, and I'll introduce him in just a minute. If you're new to the show, we talk about the issues of faith, family, and freedom in the arenas of the courts, the legislature, and the media. We've been running consecutively every week for over 6 years. Excited about that. If you want to be a sponsor of the show, you can do that. If it's you have a business that you run and you want to talk to us about it, you can get some airtime on the show. We're on a variety of different podcast formats, and we're on also Christian radio here in Central Texas and picked up in a lot of different ways. You can hear us from all over the world, wherever you decide to plug in to the internet. But a lot of big news coming from the federal level, but also at the state level. Are you an Aggie? If you are, you want to watch and listen to this show, because I got some big news for something happening on your campus. It's not just us Longhorns that have controversy at our campus. Not an issue, though, to really joke about. I mean, some serious things going on at the University of Texas that we're very concerned. I'm glad that the president of the university, Jay Hartzell, as well as Governor Abbott, have made it a priority to protect the safety and the well-being of the students and the staff there at that particular campus, which is not too far from our office across the street from the state capitol. Just a couple of programming notes. Know that we're in the middle of the early voting time period, which is almost over, for municipal elections. So that city council, that school board, check out freevotersguide.com if you want a voter's guide on school board races and others. They're not all covered, but many of them are, so it might be your area. And then on May 20th, early voting starts for the Texas House and Senate runoff state elections. So some big things on the ticket there, and some other things coming up. We're going to have some big announcements on our policy forum, some confirmed speakers that have confirmed this week. You don't want to miss that. So we'll have those highlights later in the show. But I want to get right with our guest. We had some good time to spend together earlier this week at a mutual friend's home. But Representative Brian Harrison is a Texas House of Representatives member from District 10 that is just south of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But he's no stranger to government. He served in the Bush administration when President George W. Bush was in the White House, was also the chief of staff for the Department of Health and Human Services for the Trump administration before he decided to run for office from the great state of Texas. He's a proud Texas Aggie himself. I'm sure he'll have some interest in that topic that we talk about in just a minute. Representative Harrison, welcome to the Texas Values Report.
Hey, Jonathan, always great to be with you.
Yeah, look, it was good to catch up for a few minutes, too, on Monday. And there was a lot of attention around you because the previous week you had released a letter. And I just want to set it up for people. But before we do, just give our listeners and our viewers a little bit of background about yourself. I know the district that you serve, your history goes very deep. And I hit a couple of high points. But just tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, coming up on your second term, but why you decided to run for office and serve here in our great state.
Yeah, it's kind of an oddity, actually. Even though I'm one of the relatively newer members of the Texas House, I was elected only in 2021. I'm technically about to be elected to my third term.
That's true.
When I was elected, it was a special election in 2021. It feels very odd even to me to say that. I feel like I just got elected yesterday. But no, look, I'm really honored. It's super exciting and humbling, honestly, to be able to represent District 10 in the Texas House. District 10 is where I grew up. I went to junior high and high school at a little, it was actually brand new at the time. I was the second class to ever graduate from a little school called Ovilla Christian School. And it's just about 7 minutes from where my wife and I live to this day. I went to Ovilla Christian. Then, as you mentioned, studied economics at Texas A&M University and got into public service right away. I started out as a lowly intern in the White House back in what feels like ancient history in the Bush administration. And then they appointed me to a few jobs after that. But I always wanted to get back to Texas, came home, unplugged from DC, and worked in small family businesses there with my wife and my dad, not really with any expectation of going back to DC. But when President Trump was elected, again, I was honored to be asked by the White House to come back. And I went back, as you mentioned, and served as the chief of staff for President Trump at the largest agency in the federal government, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And at a very pivotal point in our nation's history. Helped oversee that agency during the first year of the COVID pandemic. And then when I came home, there was a special election, and my friends and neighbors asked me to go run and represent them in the Texas House. And here I am.
Well, no, and look, you've done some work at some of the highest levels in our government, in our country, during some challenging times, right? So you're no stranger to having to get in the middle of some very difficult issues, but important issues that matter to a lot of people. And as we know, you're only making $600 a month, so to speak, but you're right, to be able to be a representative in our state. We know, depending on what day it is, Texas is either the seventh or the eighth largest economy in the world, that the role that you have and members of the legislature have is incredibly important, regardless of what that, you know, paycheck looks like. There's a lot of people depending on your service, and so I'm sure people, particularly in the district, are glad to have you back. And that is a special honor and an opportunity, right, to represent the district that you grew up in. And look, I mean, you put out a letter. Let's jump right into it. So last week, the federal government, the Biden administration, decided that they were going to put out a letter addressing the fact they want to try to rewrite federal law. There are, I don't want to say the ability, but sometimes you'll see this function in government where the president's administration will give a letter, their interpretation of how some of these things should go in federal law. That doesn't mean they've passed the House or the Senate, no congressional approval. But in the Biden administration has been trying to do this a long time with Title IX, right? These discussions and debates over what the word sex means, trying to change it to gender identity and also sexual orientation, and complicate a lot of matters that deal with issues of life, marriage and family. Could be work, could be sports, a variety of different things. And a lot of people may not even know what Title IX is, but you and I have been involved in this. And so last week, the Biden administration, after 2 years, because we've been pushing them back against it for a while, finally released their letter, their interpretation, and it got a lot of attention. And you didn't spend any time or waste any time responding to it. Tell us about this letter that you put out and why it was important.
Yeah, and actually, I think it's pretty important to back up even half a step and get something that you glossed over. But I think it's arguably the single biggest threat to our constitutional system of government that nobody talks about. And that's the completely out of control bureaucratic state, administrative state, deep state, if you're President Trump and want to use his language, right? And what I mean by that is America, sadly, is moving at warp speed into what I'm calling a post-constitutional era, where instead of like the bar being really high for government, especially the federal government to act, meaning the U.S. House of Representatives has to agree word for word with the U.S. Senate, and they've got to agree word for word with an elected president of the United States before the federal government can do anything, we now have a situation where for over a generation, the Congress has outsourced its legislative responsibilities to these unelected, nameless, faceless bureaucrats in the executive branch of the federal government, like the agency that I used to oversee. I mean, HHS is the biggest in the world. You mentioned that Texas is the seventh or eighth largest economy on earth. Here's a horrifying statistic. My old agency, HHS, if it were its own nation state, would be the fifth largest on earth. That's unsustainable. And the problem that we have here is not that the federal government did something to do us, they did, but it's not just that the federal government did something horrible through what we're going to talk about, Title IX. The unelected, nameless, faceless, woke leftist bureaucrats that these hacks that Joe Biden has hired that sit in cubicles in the Department of Education are exerting tyranny and forcing and subjugating Texas students to their arbitrary, capricious, illegal, and unconstitutional edicts. And that's what happened here. We call it Title IX because Congress passed something in the 1970s, but now, which was designed to protect women. And in the 1970s, of course, everybody knew what the term woman meant. You know, that didn't used to be a trick question, right? What is a woman? But now in 2024, these nameless, faceless, woke leftist bureaucrats in Biden's Department of Education decided to reinterpret that law by issuing their own regulation. Well, regulation, I'm sorry, that's just a fancy word for law if you're bound by it. And so what the Biden administration did is they said, in order to protect women and sex, we're just going to redefine these terms. And so what the effect of this is going to be for folks who are watching this trying to keep up is that the Biden administration is going to force their federal will on every school in America, including schools in Texas, and force them to basically put boys, biological males, sexual predators into the bathrooms and private and intimate spaces of little elementary school girl and junior high and public school girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. They're going to require teachers, they're going to subject teachers to potentially creating a violating a federal regulation if they don't use the preferred pronouns of these children, perhaps in violation of the will of the parents. They're going to harm women by keeping them from being able to compete for academic and athletic scholarships. And as you mentioned at the top of the show, we know they're coming for athletics. They're going to try to force sooner or later by rulemaking biological males to harm and compete with women in athletics, something that we in the state of Texas have banned. But the point that I'm trying to make in the letter is that unlike so many of the other ways where the federal government exerts its will on the states and we complain and try to change that and try to get Congress to act, this is one of these rare instances where I actually think there's a bold opportunity for the state of Texas, because we're only bound by this regulation because we voluntarily take federal money. We should be exploring right now an off-ramp so that the state of Texas can act like the sovereign state we're supposed to be, tell the federal government to keep their education money, keep their dangerous strings that accompany it, and let Texas students be educated by Texas parents, Texas teachers, Texas communities, and Texas schools, free of woke liberal federal government intervention.
Well, look, and we have the letter online on our website, txvalues.org. We'll post it here in the chat, in the comments here if you're watching on Facebook. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share this to my feed. If you haven't done that already, I'm going to encourage you to do that. We'll get a little bit more attention on this interview and our time together with Representative Brian Harrison from the Texas House of Representatives 10th District up in North Texas. You put this letter out very quickly. Now, not only you, and I appreciate that, and we'll get into some detail too, because you've asked for something specific, right, to what you mentioned to decide to not have these federal funds matter, to sort of reject them or not take them. You know, a lot of times government money always has strings with it, unfortunately. But you're right. We took care of our business here in the state of Texas. Now, we've handled the sports issue. I would say there is some concern that we don't have something in state law specifically that protects our young people and college students in the bathrooms and showers and locker rooms, where we know these issues can still be of concern. Obviously, the left thinks it's a big deal. They want their president to say how these things should go. And it's not the first time it's happened, right? You and I were talking about this on Monday. The Obama administration tried to do the same thing. And accordingly, our attorney general stepped in again. Monday filed a lawsuit, or Tuesday filed a lawsuit and says, you know, we're not having this. Governor Abbott has now come out and said, TA needs to tell all these schools, ignore what the Biden administration is doing. I think that's a lot better than the response, you know, we've seen in the past. But there's some work for us to do. And I know we got elections coming up, right? People need to think about this when who they're deciding to become president in November. But you're right. You got these big government entities and you got the, you know, presidential administration thinking they can sidestep an issue that would probably never pass at the, you know, the Congress because they've tried. Texas, what's America going to do without us? Seriously.
Well, as goes Texas, so goes the nation, right? I mean, it was Ronald Reagan that once talked about America correctly as the last best hope for man on earth. And as time goes by, as you see the disaster that's coming out of Washington, D.C., I'm firmly becoming to believe that Texas may be the last best hope for America. So what I'm trying to do in this letter is not just, I mean, so I believe the Title IX rule coming out of the Biden administration absolutely places students, it places women, girls, our teachers, our school faculties in imminent danger. This is an absolute, I call this a public education emergency. People always want to talk about public health emergencies, and I definitely know a thing or two about that from my previous jobs, but I think this is a public education emergency. We should treat it as such, and I'm sick and tired of the states just prostrating ourselves at the altar of the almighty federal government. So in addition to protecting our students and our girls and our teachers and our public schools, I think we should be fighting equally hard, and we can do it with the same effects here, with the same action. We need to be fighting as hard to protect federalism. We need to fight as hard to protect the Constitution and the 10th Amendment. I tweet all the time now, we should make the 10th Amendment great again. And I want the state of Texas, I think all states should do this, but I'm a proud Texan, you're a proud Texan, even though you went to UT and I went to the better school down in College Station, right?
Hey, we're going to have a great football game later this year, okay?
It's about time. Our Thanksgivings have not been the same, right? But here's the deal, and I'll give it back to you, but I think that it's incumbent, not just on all states that value freedom and the Constitution, the 10th Amendment, to fight back. I want Texas leading the charge in all things freedom and individual liberty and on state sovereignty, perhaps most of all. And we've got an actual opportunity. I've asked the speaker to call us into to issue an interim charge. We should have emergency hearings of the Public Education Committee, which I serve on right now, bring TEA in, bring all the other affected communities in the state of Texas that receive federal funds. Let's immediately start exploring the question of how could we get the state of Texas off of our addiction to federal money. And here's the reality, it's not even that much money. So a friend of mine the other day said, the federal government is giving us pennies, and in exchange, they want the souls of our students. I think Texas needs to stand up, educate our own kids, and extricate ourselves from the, and stop subjugating them to the whims of these unelected bureaucrats at the Department of Education. And a department that, by the way, I think is unconstitutional in whole and should be abolished.
Well, and I think that Department of Education at the federal level continues to not only be criticized, but its legitimacy is questioned almost every day. We're talking with Texas House of Representatives Brian Harrison from the 10th District up in the North Texas area, just south of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, okay, let's talk about the letter for just another minute. You made the request towards the end as a member of the Texas House Public Education Committee. You've asked for an interim charge for the rest of the people out there that don't follow quite along as closely as you and I do. In between legislative sessions, they have hearings. They call them interim charges. They're on specific topics. Most of those have already been decided. You're asking the Speaker of the House and the Chair of Education, Brad Buckley, to add this. Have you gotten a response from Chairman Buckley or anyone at the Speaker's House since you put the letter out?
Now, I haven't from them, but I'm really, I got to tell you how much enthusiasm, unsolicited excitement I've had from other members of the legislature, and not just in the Texas House, by the way. I've had people in the Senate, or members of the Senate, reach out and say, I've been thinking about this for a long time. How can we work together to do this? Because it's a little secret that very few people know. It's actually not that much money we get from the federal government, and we are a large the Lord has blessed the state of Texas. We are a wealthy state. We can afford to do this. We can afford to stand on our own two feet in the defense of our students, of our girls, of our women, and of the Constitution and state sovereignty. And like Ronald Reagan used to talk about, he's sick of Republicans that want to paint, you know, their policy proposals in these pale pastels. He wanted, and I want, bold, vivid colors. And I think the state of Texas should lead the charge in this. We should be in hearings right now. I wish the speaker would respond to this. He's a little bit preoccupied at the moment, but if he's too busy to be speaker, maybe he should just do what I've actually asked him to do and step down as being speaker and let somebody else get into that job who can lead the state, because this is a real crisis. We have real problems facing us. I mean, the stakes have never been higher. The future's on the line. The next generation is on the line. The Democrats act like it every day. Republicans control the Texas House. We should be in Austin convening right now. As much as I love talking to you and everybody at Texas Values, I should be in a committee hearing room in Austin trying to figure out a way to get Texas out of under the thumb of these woke leftists at the
Well, look, and there a lot of those hearings are coming up. Members are going to be in town anyway at some point. Why not get to work on something like this that has all of a sudden become very important, even though you and I know it's been important for a while. It's gotten a lot more attention. The rule technically does not go into effect until August 1st, but let's not let anyone think that they're not already moving some pieces on the chessboard or the checkers board to get their you know, goals accomplished real quick. Because, look, you got groups like TASB, Texas Association of School Boards. I can almost guarantee you're already starting, if they've not already sent emails and whatever, communicated to their member schools across the state of Texas saying, hey, look what the Biden administration said. You might as well start doing this. Real quick before I forget, A&M, all right? We're getting reports that this weekend there's a club championship event that A&M is hosting. But there's a student, an athlete that is a part of a club team that is a male that's competing in a women's division in a water polo activity and event. Texas State University, just south of here in San Marcos, has women that are competing. There's a 31-year-old male that's competing in the women's division. I'm told there's going to be a protest by some of the women athletes in College Station on Friday. It's going to be interesting to see how it turns out.
Well, I hope they do. And let me tell you that there were a few, I think it was four or five junior high girls in the last week or two that demonstrated more courage, more backbone, more commitment to doing the right thing in the defense of women and women's sports. They were shot putters. It was some track and field meet. I can't remember what state they were in. And they had a biological male show up to shot compete against them in shot put. Okay, no surprise. He's going to throw it further than they are. They stood up, demonstrated what actual real leadership looks like, and they put their shot puts down, and they said, we are not going to debase ourselves and our sport and compete against this biological male. I wish every elected Republican in Texas and across the country had that kind of courage and commitment to decency and justice. And look, I'm a proud Aggie, but we need to, Texas A&M to start being a little bit more committed to doing the right thing by their students here.
Well, and this is just an indication that the other side will try to find any way, you know, bringing an athlete for somewhere else. And a lot of times these, you know, host committees and host sites, they may not be aware of it, you know, and this is coming from another state. We got to be prepared. We got to make sure no matter where they come, if you're going to be in Texas, this is how we do things. We got about 1 minute left. All right. You mentioned Speaker of the House, Dade Phelan, is in the fight for his life. Okay. That runoff election starts May 20th. Early voting, main election day is May 28th. Look, things aren't looking so good according to, you know, who you talk to, polls or whatever. David Covey is, a lot of people feel, is in the lead now that that's going to a runoff. How do you think it's going to turn out?
Well, things aren't looking good for the Dade Phelan campaign, but you know what that means? That means they are looking great for the future of the state of Texas. Look, the primaries in March were a historic and crushing defeat for the liberal uniparty establishment that for far too long has controlled the Texas House, and it was a smashing and complete victory for conservatives and people who want their elected Republicans to act like actual elected Republicans. We had over nine incumbents lost, eight or nine going to runoffs, including the speaker. I think that we're going to have a huge continuation of the conservative victories that started in March, continue through the end of this month. My goal and the goal of other conservatives in the Texas House is nothing short of wholesale reform. We want to make the Texas House Republican again.
Well, as a lot of people feel the same way, we're not long away from that. And so the voters will be headed to the ballot box soon, and we'll have some results right after the Republican Party of Texas has its annual convention down in San Antonio, which we'll be a part of. So listen, great conversation. Really appreciate you stepping forward and leading on this issue with your letter. Again, we've got it posted on the chat in the comments here. We'll get it on our social media sites as well as our website. Texas House of Representatives Brian Harrison from the 10th District has been our guest today on the Texas Values Report. Thank you, Representative Harrison.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, good stuff. That was like speed round, too. A lot of stuff to cover in these issues, a lot of detail. That's why you need to go to our website and get informed. And you could also go to our microsite, savewomensportstexas.com, find out a little bit more detail about that issue. And if you really want to get some good stuff, two other ways. Our policy forum events coming up in September, September 13th and 14th, right here in Austin. We're starting to get confirmation from speakers. It's going to be awesome. Representative Ellen Troxclair, running for Speaker of the House already. Representative Tom Oliverson is going to be there. We've got Dr. Bill Bach, who was a member of the NCAA board and resigned because of the way they're handling this issue related to women's sports and not protecting women and ladies in sports and in the locker room. More announcements and confirmations on speakers to come. We usually have about 25 to 30 speakers. Also, Texas Values University, a new education project, is going to be launching soon. You want to find out how these issues work, how to get involved, and how to graduate to an advanced level of citizenship here in the state of Texas. Texas Values University is going to be what you want to do and the program you want to go through. You can make a donation today, too, if you see value in that type of work. Help us continue to work to get those things off the ground. TXValues.org. You can go to our website right now and make that tax-deductible donation. Not only is some things heating up in College Station, but the city of Austin's got a big council meeting tomorrow. Members of our team are going to be there pushing back. They want to make it a sanctuary city in Austin to allow for gender transition surgeries and puberty blockers. You know, look, I mean, the city of Austin is in such shambles. Now, I'm not saying that he's any type of conservative, so to speak, but the new mayor, I do think, is a little bit different than what we've seen in the past. And I imagine Kirk Watson's not real happy about what city council is spending their time on tomorrow. He is a Democrat. He usually votes against a lot of the stuff that we see value in. But a lot of times I think he's got at least sort of a reasonable approach when it comes to local government and recognizing what the role is, recognizing that public safety is important. So I'd be curious to see if he says anything about this recent city council move. My understanding is Council Member Mackenzie Kelly is strongly against this effort to make the city of Austin a sanctuary city to allow these procedures that are illegal. The state of Texas has made it clear. If you violate this law and you engage in these type of procedures, gender transitions and puberty blockers on kids, you're out. You'll never practice medicine in the state of Texas again. And so good luck if you want to roll the dice on that. But we're going to be there to make it clear that we oppose these efforts wherever they're going to be. Our office is in Austin, so this is right in our backyard. So check that out. We'll have some social media posts on that and some different results. We'll talk to you about what's happening. But in the middle of municipal elections, all right, so the iVoter Guide resource that we partner with through freevotersguide.com is available. Now, it doesn't cover all school board races, but some of the bigger ones are on there. So you want to check that list and see if your school board is covered. Some school boards do not have their elections until November. Maybe not this November or other Novembers, but there are 1,200 school districts in the state of Texas. So go to freevotersguide.com, download that source that we help put together, and see if your school district is on there. And if it's not, pass it on to a friend that includes their school district. But this is how we do this work, by these different resources that we have and by providing the value that we do, as well as some work we're going to be doing in courts. We got one, maybe two more slots open for interns. So if you're still thinking about it, you haven't put in your application yet, still a little bit of time, but don't wait. We've got two people who've already locked up spots. We're excited about that for this summer. Just some of the many reasons why you should consider donating at txvalues.org. You can make your 501c3 tax-deductible donation today. And that's how together we'll protect faith, family, and freedom in Texas. And we'll talk to you next week on the Texas Values Report.